Lord, grant that the Holy Spirit may speak through my words, and that all who hear them may be moved by the Spirit to go out into the world to take the light of Christ to others. Amen. Please sit down. The last day of the old year, New Year's Eve. And for many of us, I'm sure, it's both a time to look back and also a time to look forward. To look back over the past 12 months and perhaps bemoan all that has been happening on the world stage, be it Brexit or Trump, the tragedies and awfulness of Grenfell Tower and the Manchester and London bombings, the quite horrific stories coming from such war zones as Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Myanmar, or South Sudan, to name just a few places where man's inhumanity to man seems to know no bounds. Then, of course, since we're British, there's always the weather, which has the power, it would appear, to colour almost everything we choose to do. And yet such storms and heat waves that we might have can never compare with the most dramatic manifestations of the power of nature, such as the hurricanes that devastated the Caribbean islands and part of the US coastline early in the year, or the tropical storms that have recently hit the Philippines, causing wholesale destruction and loss of life. And then, of course, there's the cricket, but we won't go there. And on top of all this media headline-catching news, there are, of course, the times of great happiness and delight, matched always by sad or difficult and challenging events which have affected our own personal lives and those of our loved ones over the past 12 months. What sort of score would we give 2017 out of 10? I'm not sure. But I suspect many of us might agree that it has perhaps not been the most upbeat and hopeful year, certainly as far as world politics and conflicts are concerned. And now there is a new year to think about. Just what will 2018 bring to planet Earth as a whole and to us personally? What would we like to see happen on the world stage? What would we do if we were in a position of real power to change things? I'm sure we all have our own ideas as to just how we would play God if given the opportunity. And we all have dreams of a world where wars are done away with, the poor are properly housed and fed, and there is justice for all, whatever their nationality, race, colour, or creed. But these are, for the most part, simply that, dreams. And yet, as we hover on the very brink of a new year, there surely are resolutions we can make that will make a difference to others. And here I'm not talking about going on some faddy diet to shift the unwelcome pounds that have accumulated over the festive season, or resolving to take up one of the new fitness regimes that are always being advocated at this particular time of year. Anything from hot Pilates to Brolates, whatever either of these may be. No, I'm talking about resolutions that will make a difference to others, however small a difference and seemingly insignificant they may appear to us. And this is where I think our gospel reading gives us a clue as to how we might set about this. And of course, it's very appropriate that Andrea gave out those cards because I think they're all about doing things for others in the coming year. Our gospel reading tells that lovely story of the shepherds whose most amazing privilege it was to be called by no less a personage than an angel to go and see the Messiah, the Saviour who'd been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Shepherds who were regarded as outcasts by the self-styled great and good of the time, principally the Pharisees and scribes. simply because their way of life meant that attendance at a synagogue on a regular basis was all but impossible. And their prayers, assuming they said any, were known to God alone. It was these simple men to whom God chose to deliver his very first invitation to see for themselves his incarnate Son. People just like you and I, ordinary people with no claim to fame, fortune, or privilege. People doing a job of work that others might despise, but which was very necessary. And what did they do when they received that invitation, albeit delivered in a decidedly unorthodox manner? Without a second thought or a backward glance, they abandoned their flocks, leaving them easy prey for any wild animal who might come along fancying a late night supper, and set off hell for leather down the hillside to Bethlehem to see for themselves just what it was that had come to pass. Yes, they abandoned their sheep, just as those four fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, abandoned their nets when Jesus called them to follow him. Just as Matthew abandoned his tax booth and his nice, comfortable, rich style of life when he too was called by Jesus, the Son of God. And that is exactly what I think we're called to do as another year dawns, if our knowledge and understanding of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is to grow in ever-increasing awe and wonder within us. We need to be aware of our own individual call to follow Jesus, and in accepting that call, recognize that there are certain things in our lives that really do need to be abandoned and laid to one side. We'll all have prejudices like those Pharisees and scribes, which will colour our thinking and the way in which we look at people. Surely, we are called to abandon them and recognise that each person we meet is like us, a child of God. And in recognising this amazing truth, there is the potential to meet with God again and again and again. We are called, I believe, to seek the Christ child in all whom we meet and not just lump them together in some specified category or identity box. We see ourselves as unique human beings. So why cannot we learn to see others in the same way? Jesus certainly did exactly that. And it is his way that we are called to imitate. Jesus never lumped people into categories. He saw each one as an individual in need of love, forgiveness, and healing. Instead of giving people labels or lumping them into groups, let us abandon such a practice and give them, each and every one, their own personal name instead. The minute we do this, the entire relationship changes, and it is then that we may, like those shepherds, have the immense privilege of catching a glimpse of the Christ child within each of them. As a new year dawns, I believe that we're called once again to renew our endeavours to become more Christ-like, and in so doing, reveal his light, the light of the world in the dark places of the world, so that we too can bring healing and hope. Hope for the future, hope for the coming kingdom, where all God's children, in their infinite diversity, will know the blessings of mercy, peace, and love. we are called to abandon the barnacles of self-centeredness and selfishness, of greed and self-interest, of prejudice and hypocrisy that will always accumulate around us, unless, of course, we're positively saint-like, and such people, it has to be said, are incredibly rare. No, we're called to walk out into the future, uncluttered, abandoning those sins that hamper us, and reveal the revelatory light of Christ, to walk in that light ourselves and allow it to guide us wherever God wishes us to go. I would like to end with two pieces of writing by Ian Adams, which I hope will inspire you as they have inspired me. This is the moment. This is the day. You need to commit yourself to a future with no certainties, to step out onto a road unknown, trusting only in the goodness of God, in the benevolence of the earth beneath your feet, in the gifts that have come your way, and in the calling that you sense is yours. And if on this pilgrimage you are no more than a sign pointing towards love, this will be enough. Step out. Step out. This year, may you become some small gift for the world's anointing. Wherever you go, may you bring the light of Christ and his healing balm. Step out. This year, may you become some small gift for the world's anointing. Wherever you go, may you bring Christ's light and his healing balm.